Brothers and sisters. Thank God that we could gather together and learn about God's word. Let's spend some time studying the book of Jacob today. It is what God spoke to me as I was meditating. Let's pray together before we begin. Dear God, we thank you for having you. You gave us your words that we can know you through. We admit that we are immature when it comes to your faith. Thank you that we can know you and your love, as well as your grace, that those who still remain on the earth can have your hope and your glory. We ask for guidance for speakers, for those serving, for translators, that we can accurately present your message. Let us study 1-1 today. Some people say they love kids. Really? If you really love children, how about you take care of my kids for 3 days? Can you still keep them alive today? Would that be okay? Not really. When you live with children, you realize they are very true. They're self-centered and immature, whatever they think. So we turn to people called their children, which means disobedient children. They're quite annoying. In society today, there might be mature people, adults. Well, they're physically grown, they have minds that remain at the infant stage. They are extremely selfish, only taking without giving, indifferent to others. Despite being blessed, they act spoiled, need constant pampering. We call these people giant babies. These people have ages and bodies of adults, but their minds are still stuck in infancy. Today, God's family. Aren't there many giant babies who, despite believing in God for many years, have not grown in their faith? It's arrogant. You might understand the great spiritual truth, yet we often look hard seeking earthly benefits. The book is cautious because it's like a mirror book, helping us understand our true condition. It also shows us that with physically mature person and spiritual maturity, life and how it should look like. The beginning of Genesis shows us that those who are spiritual cannot overcome temptation or do not have patience with trials. Truth, didn't even speak of them, but to do not live with that. Living in truth involves faith, love, and deeds. The book of James shows us what spiritual maturity is. They are able to control their tongue as a spiritually mature person and bring peace. A spiritual influence is powerful jealousy and strife within themselves, but also incite discord among people. Contrasted, a spiritually mature person, no matter what difficulties life may bring, can overcome. Dependence on prayer is key. James' writings, Paul's letters, is quite interesting. Paul tells us we are justified before God, not. James emphasizes that our actions are what other people see. They cannot see our faith. What kind of person can live out a life of testimony? What kind of person can endure temptation and live in truth? Okay. And control his tongue? It is a spiritual person that can bring peace to others. It is this person that can hold you up because he has a mature spiritual life within him. James repeatedly used the word perfect in the James 1:4 states, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Chapter 2, verse 22, we see that faith in his actions were working together, and his faith was complete by what he did. Verse 3, 2 states, we all stumble at people who is never at fault, and what they say is perfect. Able to careful what does it mean perfect? It doesn't mean being without sin, but that he has a perfect life within him, which is what perfect means. Many difficulties in the church happen because not because the brothers and sisters don't love them. Not that brothers and sisters love the world or are competitive. Person can be perfect because God's grace is all sufficient. Who is sufficient? This is what James 1 says. And then 1:25 tells us. Verse 17, every good thing given and every perfect gift from above, coming from the Father of with whom there is no variability or thing of shadow. Verse 1:25. But one who has looked intently at the perfect law of freedom, and has continued, not having become forgetful, but an active doer, this person will be blessed in what he does. Because God's grace is often sufficient and perfect to live this perfect life. Today, as we study James 1:1, let's look at this letter, who he is, and what grace God has shown in his love. James 1:1, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Really? Let us tell, look at who wrote the letter and the important pieces of information and who this letter is written for. Who wrote this letter? It was James. Who is James? In and among the Jews, James is a common name. If you call the name James or Daniel in the streets, there will be many people who will respond. Too many people are called by this name. There are four people named James in the New Testament. Biblical scholars all spend time in and know that Jesus, James is Jesus' fleshly brother. And he was the second youngest brother to Jesus. What are the special characteristics of James, Jesus' next younger brother? And what were his experiences? In the gospel, interestingly enough, whatever was reported about James was mostly negative. He didn't believe in Jesus. We know Jesus' family was not wealthy. They were a carpenter's family living in a. You can imagine a bunch of kids playing together. Can you imagine James playing in the mud with Jesus every day? Drinking together. Someone guessed that James might have been stolen Jesus' toys. Maybe their mother Mary would come over, grab James by the ear, and say, "Don't steal your brother's toys." James would ask why. Mary would then reply, "Your brother is God." Do you think little James would actually believe his mother then? Would he believe that his brother? Some might say, after James heard his mom say this, he would turn around and punch his brother, saying, "Show me the trick if you're God." Who in our day has the hardest time believing in Jesus? It is those who grew up in the church versus unbelievers. If I were James, seeing how perfect other Jesus getting praise for being sensible, seeing that my parents treat my brother the best, all the best resources, I would definitely be very envious and really hate him. There's a saying in the world pros that swans are guilty. Everyone's as you are not black as us, so we respect you. Jesus himself said, "A prophet is not without honor in his own town." relatives and then his home. In John 7, Jesus' brothers sarcastic towards him, saying, "If you're capable, don't hang around right here. Go to the country, go to the big city and show your skills." So we know Jesus' brothers very antagonistic towards him. In Mark 2, when Jesus was busy preaching, some scribes from Jerusalem confronted Jesus. James and Jesus' other relatives then commented that, "Jesus, you are out of your mind." This is James' brothers and sisters, a person who lived with Jesus for 30 years. They saw the miracles, yet they still recognized Jesus. Yet, in this letter, James turns and also encourages others to live the testimony of Jesus. What is most surprising is that this once unbelieving James later became one of the most important leaders of the church in Jerusalem. You can compare that to the modern day leader or pastor of the church. Look up Acts 12:21 in regards to this. In Galatians 2:9, Paul calls James a pillar. After Peter went to see James. And then in the book of Acts, when the Church of Jerusalem held a the final decision, James did. When Paul brought donations from the Gentiles, Church of Jerusalem, who was in charge of receiving? It was James. James did many disgraceful things, and this was all recorded in the Gospels. Yet we see in the book of Acts that James became a precious vessel in the hand of God, a person who became a precious vessel in the hands of God. How is this possible? There's only one explanation: God's grace. God's grace in the life of James is made perfect in. And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that the resurrected Jesus personally appeared to James. Brothers and sisters, imagine if you could be raised from the dead and could talk with James. Would Jesus give up hope? James, they could talk nowadays. Contrary, we see Jesus did not give up on James in the while they were alive. The resurrected Jesus personally went to find James, and with his love and mercy, brought James back. Times we are hard-hearted and do not seek after God. God's great patience in our lives. an infinite mercy that brings us back, and we can meditate on. We can think back. Many people in the world are smarter than us, more beautiful than us, wealthier than us, have more morals than us. A lot of people prayed for you in the church. You've heard the gospel since you grew up. After believing, how many times have we disgraced you and failed to the point we didn't even want to go to church or even faith? But no matter what, the Lord's grace to us never failed, even though we were unworthy. We have to understand this fact. God's love towards us never changed. We must experience as for us. And this is what Cain also experienced. After experiencing God's wonderful grace, how does James introduce himself? 1:1a, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Lord. Everyone today commented casually about this, but the Lord Jesus Christ. However, in that day and era of the early, Jesus acknowledging Jesus for the price. The Roman government required everyone to acknowledge the Roman Emperor as Lord. And you said, Jesus is Lord, you are and in danger, and might be burnt to death or put in an arena with lions. According to Chrysostom in AD 64, James was martyred for the Lord, that a group of high priests and some officials. They commanded James to then stand on the roof of the temple, ordered him to blaspheme the name of Christ. Otherwise, they would push him down to his death. At the end of this letter, James called the price of Lord, but Jesus paid the price for this declaration. James, a servant of God, what does this mean? The Chinese Bible is translated as servant. The Greek text is actually more accurately translating it as slave. Servant. Everyone knows that a servant is different from a slave. A servant is wages. A slave does not. The world today, the devil is like a top master who controls people. But our identity can change because Jesus has redeemed us. It says if God gives you freedom, then you will be free. Does that mean we can do whatever? In the area, the price was was determined by his physique, weight, and health condition. Or strong, dark-skinned slave. His price always sold very well. Every master, when he partially exploited, made him do very heavy, overwhelming work. One day, he was put up for auction again. Someone paid a high price, and the slave was very bitter, even after he was caught. He knew this master would very likely still harshly exploit him. Unexpectedly, the master came over and handed him his indenture. He said, "I bought you so that you may go free." The slave couldn't believe his ears. He was happy and turned to leave. He walked the distance. Suddenly, he stopped, thinking. I have never met a man. No one ever respected me like you and gave me that freedom and love this way. So I'm willing to return to you. I'm willing to serve you because you truly love me. In the Old Testament, slaves couldn't be saved for long. A slave must go after 7 years and be free. He could do whatever he wanted. Make decisions for his own life. Or he could choose to stay with the master in his house. This moment is called Slave of Love. If this is the case, the slave will be a willing bond servant, be servant for life, the master's heel. The master must lean against the door frame and pierce his ear with an awl. Who has witnessed that he will be a slave for life. He will have no authority over his own life now. He will belong to this house forever and willingly serve the master and his family. In a similar way, Christ won our hearts with his love. He redeemed us from the enemy, not with silver and gold, but with Christ's precious blood, that he treated us well and we are willing to serve him. All our offerings, all our performances, all obedience should actually be based on our knowledge and love for the Lord, not a dominion from the past. Imagine you had a child. You force him to come up with your shoes. He poured for you to drink and bring you food. Course, because you will keep it around. This child does those things. It's because of food, not because of love. What about if you have a child when you come home? Your child comes to give you a hug. It wants to see. This is completely different. In the same way, God wants service to be willing and obedient. Our obedience to be a willing sacrifice as a response. Know that our God, He is everlasting and lacks nothing. Need us to do things for him because he owns and everything. This is a very important concept, but he wants us to be a part of his work, preaching the gospel. He wants us to respond to his love in this way. This passage, James had a good reputation of being known as righteous. People called him righteous because they could not find any flaw with him. Did not drink wine, did not eat meat, or put a razor in his head. She only was alone and near people called him a person who has camel's knees because of the developed there. James could have presented himself in many different ways, such as righteously. Or he could introduce himself as James. Or he could say, I'm the chief elder of the Jerusalem church. Or he could even introduce himself as Jesus' fleshly brother. However, this is not what James did. He said he calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. Being a servant of Jesus Christ is his pride and brothers and sisters, who is the Son of God? No one is worthy. When we go looking for work, they look at our education and our ability. Few people are thinking about marriage and considering whether they are good and match. Would a prostitute bound by sin saying to the prince, I want to marry you? A prince in his right mind would not agree. In the same way, we weak people often failing, sinning so many times, letting God give me your hand. God still gives us His grace and allows us to serve Him. And so, Paul says in Romans 12, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of this, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is true for the Lord. Sisters, we are worthy to serve Him. God's mercy and grace that allows us to serve Him. About the Lord Jesus, power and wisdom to be. He can hold everything together by His power. When such a person so wise like Christ comes to the world, he can choose anyone. He can choose the image of a wise king, a wealthy, powerful person. He could be a rich, tall, and handsome man, amongst so many options. He chose the image of a servant. Day Jesus was arrested and to be crucified the next day, what did disciples do in front of this great God? They argued among themselves who was the greatest. What did Jesus do for them? He walked. Took off his outer clothes and wrapped a towel around his waist and poured water into a basin to care for his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel. What does it mean? There are many kinds of slaves. Some high-level slaves can manage many people. The lowest slave washes the feet. Jesus became the lowest servant by doing this. King of kings and lords of lords. Creator of the universe and wash their feet. The King of the universe serves to the extent of being crucified on the cross. Our Lord, wealthy, yet he gave himself completely for us. When we are often so poor and blind that we think we consider ourselves righteous. We're willing to give ourselves to him. We are worms and think too highly of ourselves, yet the Lord of the universe, he willingly deserved it and laid down his life. Here's a testimony of my family who served the Lord. I've heard their wives tell. She and her husband have been married for a whole 20 years. They have two lovely children, and the eldest in junior high school, and she shared that even among these 20, my husband loves me so much. He helps me take care of kids, even though we don't have much wealth. My husband still tries to fulfill all my needs, and he cares for the children after his work. There's the church, thankfully. I know I should be very grateful, and I should be so satisfied because how many people can find such a great husband? But I just feel a little dissatisfied. No matter what, even if he treats me very well, I still feel dissatisfied after these 20 years of marriage. I have just recently discovered some small secrets to marital happiness. Sure that my satisfaction doesn't come from my husband treating me well. It comes from together with him, giving God pleasure, the satisfaction and joy of heart in this way, in this garden. God has been gracious to them. They open their home every Friday to host a small group of meetings, students and some youngers and brother, little brothers and sisters. So they care for these younger brothers and sisters' spiritual life. Brothers and sisters, we know that when we serve the Lord faithfully, our joy can never be taken away. We can definitely see the life of James has changed so much. James, who can sacrifice himself because of the Lord? What grace has fallen a person who was rebellious and hated Christ and Jesus? He became a faithful servant of God. This life and God's grace in his life is evident in his God's grace given to the recipients of the letter as well. James James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 first abroad. Greeting. To whom is this letter written? It is addressed to the 12 scattered among the nations. The term scattered, it refers to the historical fact of the dispersion of the Israelites. First dispersion occurred 7.1 BC. Centralized, intermingled, and intermarried with the when they became a mixed nation, they are called the Aryans today. The second dispersion occurred around 606. Babylonians invaded the southern kingdom and took most of the Jews to Babylon. Both remained in Babylon. Today, those people do not hold identities. The term 12 tribes became a collective term referring to all God's 13 people. Here, one uses the term scattered, indicating people, including Gentile believers, who have a heavenly home and are scattered or residing temporarily on it. Many Jews have never returned to Jerusalem, yet they set up synagogues and do everything that can be done in one temple, except for some. These are Jerusalem, but can experience what Jerusalem is. In the temple, but among this group, as well as the outsiders. In the New Testament area, term Hebrews 12 tells us we're in heaven. You have come to Mount, to the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the true high priest and glory of God. Even though they're not in Jerusalem, they can benefit God's heavenly glory. A person who does not believe in God or does not have contact with God can come to relationship with God through the church, through Christians. The same way, God has chosen these broken vessels, such as we, to accomplish his task of redemption through the world. Well, to review the beauty and through our body on earth. Someone who looks perfect and has a great image, but rather he chooses to use us who are blind, lame, leprous to do his work. He chose to let Christ indwell in you us, even though we are unworthy. Christ's life is evident in us, especially his abundant grace. that God's people are scattered and residing temporarily on the earth. This is not because God made a mistake or fell asleep or because Satan came to cause trouble and scatter God's people. That Christians are being dispersed. For the book of Acts, the Jerusalem church was very large and thriving. The brothers lived loving one another. No one thought of leaving. None of the apostles in Jerusalem wanted to leave. They just wanted to gather together every day. God used Satan as the enemy and enemy of the church to scatter his people. Yet, when each person was dispersed, they would be seen. Wherever they went, they brought the gospel with them. Were established different regions. Even though this may seem like a weakness of the enemy, God's will was actually, and his gospel spread from Jerusalem. We can see workings. We see God's power as his people in different places, giving them his great witnesses. What is better is that God has a plan and also power. He also preserves his people. In the first century, it was not easy for God's children to gather. Early Christians you might notice, oh, there's a missing person. And then upon inquiry, discovered that they had been arrested. Why? They refused to acknowledge that we were guilty. They might the arena to be fed by lions or tied up and burned. Can you imagine yourself hearing such news? Would you still go to the church gathering next week? If you were arrested, your wife could become your children orphaned. What would happen to them? However, God's children still gathered all over the world and refused to deny the claim. All of them to do to gather and sacrifice for him under such harsh circumstances. It is because God was holding up his people with great power. And through his grace, miracle happened. So we see in this scripture that God has grace for his people scattered in various places. God understands people's greatest need. And this greatest need is provided by God's word. And here we see the Lord of the universe leading to his people through faith. The Old Testament story, God commanded Joshua to lead his people from Canaan. All the responsibility fell on Joshua, making him very anxious. That is why God repeatedly encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous, not because God encouraged him, but also gave him the book of the law as encouragement. Joshua 1, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may do according to all that is written in it, that you will make your way prosperous. And then you will achieve everything. In Joshua's shoes, you were to lead the people of Israel to war against enemies. What do you think you will do? Tools such as planes and tanks. Maybe a art of war manual. But God made promises. What gave Joshua strength and also can give the people of God strength. And that is why God gave them things so that we can be encouraged and continue to grow. Jesus' brother James, who constantly denied Jesus for 30 years, he later became a best of honor for God's glory. And this is evident in his writings and also the way he was able to impact lives today and throughout the ages in his letter, the Book of James. God wants to use his word to supply all needs in people's lives. We can see God's grace abundantly revealed in our lives, in the life of James, in the life of the 12 tribes. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you've given your word to us. God, we know that our understanding is limited. We thank you that through the little we can ever see, God, you can use this in our lives. And we thank you and pray this in your name. Amen.